What is up, everybody? This is Braden from Flint Mastering, and I am the host and content curator of the Mixing Music Podcast exclusive episodes. And today we have for you an exclusive archive, which means you're going to hear an exclusive episode that DK and I recorded almost a year ago. You're going to have the chance to hear what our exclusive episodes are all about and how much fun and learning goes on between me and DK as we discuss technical tips and important techniques in relation to producing, mixing, and mastering. If you enjoy this episode and you'd like to be a part of the exclusive content we provide twice a week, you can do so by heading over to mixingmusicpodcast.com/exclusive. Thank you so much for listening. We love you, we appreciate you, and we couldn't do this podcast without you. I hope you enjoy this episode of the exclusive archives. And with that, happy mixing, my friends, and stay saucy. Welcome back to yet another exclusive subscriber-only episode of the Mixing Music Podcast. I am your host for today and until the end of the year, Braden from Flint Mastering. And joining me are two prudes, Daddy DK and James Dean. What's going on, guys?
That was like an even worse intro.
But we'll keep it just because of the awkward pause right after. we'll give no explanation.
The three of us, we're good. We're getting good at using pauses to cause embarrassment.
I'm not embarrassed. I stand by what I said. Don't do an awkward pause to make me feel awkward. It doesn't work. It's not even a pause. DK is eating ramen noodles out of a bowl with chopsticks, the most Japanese thing he could do right now.
Yeah, that's fucking hilarious because it's not even noodles. It's fucking takikomi gohan.
Yeah. Exactly. I knew it was that.
Yeah, it's rice. It's a Japanese form of rice.
Whatever. I hate this show. Let's get into it. Manny Mariquin is our topic of conversation for today. One of the legends of mixing. And he is going to talk about something that I think is pretty cool, actually, that I don't know if we've talked about before. Maybe we have a little bit. But it is whether or not he uses drum triggers and the reasoning behind it. So here we go. Without further ado, Manny Mariquin, roll the tape.
Do you use triggers with real drums? What kind of triggers and why? So my philosophy on that is I feel that if a sound has made it this far, if it's gone through songwriters, the producer, labels, managers, again, A&Rs, friends, family, by the time I get that song, there's a very good reason why those drum sounds have made it this far. So my approach is, let me see how, if I can work with these sounds, because obviously something's there, or else the producer would have changed them. I mean, we all have the same tools. The only way I trigger sounds is just to add to that sound itself. I hardly ever trigger sounds to change the sounds. So I use it almost as an EQ approach, where if the kick is this and I think it doesn't sound good with the track, instead of EQing some of that, I'll add a sound that covers that spectrum. So I use it in a way to EQ things more than to swap sounds. Again, I like to give that sound a shot. And chances are that 90% of the time, what I thought was not a good sound in the beginning of the mix, how I blended everything around that sound, all of a sudden I don't need to change it. So I use it. I use triggers as EQs to add character to the sounds.
Alrighty, James and DK. So Manny tells us that he only uses drum triggers as like an EQ to add to a sound that's there, not to replace a sound. And I think it's really important that he says that his thought process is, let me see if I can work with these sounds that I have, because there's a reason the sounds that are in this mix have made it this far. And if they wanted something different, they would have done something different. So James, give us your thought process behind this clip, and then we'll go to DK after as per the regularly programmed scheduling.
So my main reason for bringing up this clip is actually more of a question for DK, because I know that you've mentioned the same logic behind using trigger as like a, you know, more of an EQ move and not a replacing move. And I just wanted kind of more of your thoughts on this, and especially how you choose which samples you do it with, or how you even find those samples to start with.
Okay. This is a common theme. You are talking about drum triggers, but first off, I want to address the most important part about all of this, which is that Manny says he, at his level, he rarely ever changes out the kick drum sample or any sort of drum sample with a trigger. That, like, at his level. So one thing is that anybody that has the budget to send him a mix has been written, produced, edited in a very professional way, knowing that this could very damn well be the next Grammy-winning song, potentially. Or platinum-selling record or something like that. You never know. Right? Or at least with the hopes of doing that. Done by people who have done that in the past. Previously done that, right? So it's... You got to understand, like, the value, especially at that level. The reason why the higher up the chain you go with mixing, the less the mix engineers do, the less and less that they do. It's because what you're doing is you're just respecting the original intention. And he even talked about how sometimes, like, he thinks that a kick drum sounds weak, but in context, it's actually, like, perfect for the song. I've actually, when he said that out loud, I was like, I've done that a bunch of times, actually. And there's probably times where I fucked that up more than I realize. I think that's actually really, really important. I think that's really, really credible, especially coming from Manny. I do use triggers as an EQ or supplementary thing. For example, I want more of the attack of the kick, but not like the sub, or vice versa. I want more sub frequencies, but not necessarily more attack. But instead of just boosting the lows or just boosting the mid range, I just think that a different splash from a different kick drum, which splashes in a different range of frequencies and has different harmonics, will blending that in will create a better splash of upper mid range or mid range frequencies to provide a kick that cuts through a little bit better. Sometimes instead of just EQing those frequencies, I want different harmonics, different harmonic character. Whether that's low end sub frequencies, low mids, or like upper lows, with that like chesty lows, whether it's mid range or whether it's top end, you never know. I mostly do it on kick drum. Kick drum is the one that I will, I probably statistically blend in with triggers or replace completely the most. I rarely ever do it with snares. Very little, very few, far between. And then, I rarely ever replace them unless I know going into it that that's my job as our relationship with the client, where like they are expecting me to slightly produce or slightly do a little bit more heavy lifting. And that's done through communication and setting expectations beforehand. That's not something that I decide while I'm mixing. Yeah.
That's cool.
Does that answer the questions?
No, that did. Yeah. Do you have like a specific, because I know you use trigger. Do you have a specific library of like just kick samples that you know, like, okay, I know to use this for this sound, or?
Yeah, I've used Splice, and I have a folder of my favorite kick drums in Splice, both acoustic. I like to use the Slate ones built in too, like sometimes. So like whether I use one of the built-in ones, if it's an acoustic kick drum that I want to add more of like an acoustic splash to, or an exclusive, acoustic variation to. And then I have a personal folder of like 20 to 30 kick drums that I use that are more in the digital hip hop domain.
Okay, cool.
I have a few favorites that almost always work, but it's not about like this kick drum is the golden sample. It's more about this one consistently fills in the needs of other ones. Because, I mean, no matter what sample you use, it should be like the root frequency of that kick drum will be in a different key, different note, and like the harmonic content will be different. This specific sample that I like to use tends to create a splash of harmonics, an attack of harmonics in a way that complements other kick drums. So I have like a two or three that I use a lot. But again, I don't replace it with that. So it's more like an EQ move.
Do you tune to the same fundamental?
No, definitely not. Hell no.
Oh, so you just leave it as
yeah.
is.
Yeah, no, that would kind of ruin the purpose if I tuned to the same fundamental, because it just creates more clashing frequencies and potentially more phase problems. Like, I want it to be in different. Plus, it's like a kick drum most of the time, unless you have perfect pitch and you're listening to it in solo. Even Charlie Puth won't be able to, like, will have a hard time. I assume we'll have a hard time being able to catch the fundamental of a kick drum without it isolated.
Yeah.
You know? Because it's more of like a, it's more of the impact rather than the note.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, and a reason why this stood out to me too is because I, like, 2 weeks ago, I did a mix. And I wanted to do like a trigger drum replacement, but I like opened it and I should have just stuck with it and like experimented more with it. But I kind of got like, I tried doing some things and I got like intimidated. So I just tried to do what I needed to do through different means. But yeah, that's definitely something I want to just sit down and experiment with more. It's kind of dialing in, doing that, and not just like, not with the thought of replacing, but just with enhancing.
I will say with my higher end clients, my higher paying, more listened to clients, I do less of that stuff.
Hmm.
And there are a few local independent clients, not label funded, that I also don't do any of that stuff. Rarely ever.
Okay.
And then there's like, you know, the good batch of people where like I'm invested in their songs. That's the relationship. That's communication. We've already prefaced it, and I've already potentially even asked that specifically. Most of the time, I can kind of decipher from the vibe what kind of relationship that we're getting into. But sometimes I'll be explicit and be like, is it cool if I, you know, swap this kick drum out? Or like, how flexible are you allowing me to be? But it's also like a gamble, because they could say in their mind, they could be like, oh yeah, it's cool if you totally change it up. We hate the rough mix. And then you do something really different. They're like, actually, this is way too different. So it's like, it's a gamble regardless. So either way, even if I do end up replacing, I'm not changing it that much. I'm just changing the function of it a little bit more.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that makes sense. That's definitely my homework, is to mess around with sample replacement or just.
Yeah, I just be careful with kick drum.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. I was going to say, the only thing with like that you need to be careful with like kick drum sample supplement or replacement, is just remember phasing.
Yeah.
Especially with supplementing. Supplementing, there could be phase issues. So always flip the phase and see which phase it feels better.
Yeah. I think I just need to dial in with experimenting it, just so that my ear could learn to recognize when it is needed.
Yeah, and it's just, again, it's just another tool. It's not like, this is the way that you need to do it. Like, that's just, that's assuming that EQ, compression, distortion doesn't work. Then another option is supplement through a trigger. Like, that's not the first thing that I think of every single time.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, like, if I can get away with distortion, or it's like, because when I hear the original kick drum and I know what I want to do with it, like, I might reach for trigger first, knowing that this is not going to work. Like, no matter what I do, this is not going to work. Or, like, first thing I do is a bunch of EQ, and it's like, that doesn't work. Saturation, that doesn't work. Compression, that doesn't work. It's like, I guess I'm going to try trigger. And it's like, oh, that kind of works. And then I add the supplemented trigger effect, and then I distort the original kick drum. And, like, when I distort the original kick drum and use the supplemental kick drum, that sounds the best.
Hmm.
It's just a tool, not something to focus on.
Yeah. Cool. That was very helpful. Thanks.
Cool beans. Well, the only thing I have to add to this conversation is that DK forgot to mention that some of the kick samples that he uses, some of his personal favorites, are the Logic kick samples. He really likes to use those.
Oh, shut the fuck up. Oh, my gosh.
He struck a chord.
Oh my gosh.
I know, because in one of our exclusive episodes, DK went on a rant about how bad the stock Logic kick samples
are. Yeah, dude, if you use the stock Logic kick drum samples, that alone is what makes your mix suck. Okay? If you use any other kick drum, you will have a 20% increase in quality in your mixes. I promise.
And that's a Daddy DK guarantee.
I do like how Manny said, I wrote down the quote when I was listening to the clip. Give that sound a shot. He said, give it a shot. You know, give that sound a shot. I like that. I think I'm going to be taking that away this week.
Yeah, I like that too.
Yeah, like with the Logic kick drums. Give them a shot, DK.
Yeah, sometimes weird sounds work better in context.
Cool. Sweet. Well, I think that is a great spot to wrap up. Thank you all so much for listening. Thank you for subscribing. We love you. We appreciate you. And we could not do this without you. Make sure you join the Mixing Music Discord if you haven't already. Links.dkmixes.com for all of DK's cool, free, and helpful stuff. And dkmixes.com/videos for DK's Twitch and YouTube goodies. And don't forget, you can also check out mixingmusicpodcast.com/sponsors for a list of people that sponsor the show and discounts you can get and kickback for the show, which helps us in the end make better content for you all. So thanks again for listening, and we'll be excited to see you in the next episode. Go try out some drum triggers, see what you can do, use it as an EQ, use it as a replacement, and see how it affects your mixes, see if it improves them. And with that, DK, sign us off.
Happy mixing, my friends, and stay saucy. Is episodes once a week not enough for you? Or are you looking for more technical information from the Mixing Music Podcast? Well, guess what? Now you can. You can subscribe to our exclusive content and triple the amount of episodes that you get access to. That's right. Instead of the free once a week episodes, you get 3 episodes a week for only $4 a month or $40 a year. Go to mixingmusicpodcast.com/exclusive to get access to those episodes now.